Listen, you still keep crawling back like a fucking cockroach. Amazingly, he dares to speak. She's... and you. I point to the blonde girl who has my world under the sharp heel of her black shoe. You. You keep playing mind games with me, acting like you give a fuck, when really you've been planning to leave me this entire time. You know I won't go to Seattle, yet you're planning to run off, without telling me. Her eyes glassy, she pleads with me.
That's why I hadn't told you yet, Harden, because...
Stop fucking talking, I say, and her hand moves to her chest, like my words are causing her pain. Maybe they are. Maybe I want them to, so she can feel what I feel. How could she humiliate me this way, in front of Zed, of all people? Why is he here? I ask her. There is no evidence of his smug grin when she turns to look at him before looking back at me.
I asked him to meet me here.
I stagger back in mock surprise. Or maybe it's real surprise. I can't tell what these feelings really are, rushing through me so quickly. Well, there we go. The two of you obviously have something special here.
I only wanted to talk to him about the charges. I'm trying to help you, Harden. Please, just listen to me.
She steps toward me, moving her hair from her face again. I shake my head. Bullshit! I heard your entire conversation. If you don't want him, tell him right now, in front of me. Her watery eyes plead silently for me to give in and not make her humiliate him in front of me. But it doesn't sway me. Now, or I'm done with you. My own words burn like acid on my tongue.
I don't want you, Zed,
she says, facing me. Her words are rushed, panicked, and I know it's hurting her to say them. At all? I ask, mimicking Zed's grin from earlier.
At all?
She frowns, and he runs his hands through his hair. You never want to see him again, I instruct. Turn and tell him that. But it's Zed who speaks up. Harden, just stop. Leave it alone. I got the message. You don't have to play into his sick game, Tessa. I get it, he says. He looks pathetic, like a sad child. Tessa, I start. But when she looks up at me, what I see behind her eyes nearly brings me to my knees. Disgust. She is full of disgust for me. She takes a step toward me.
No, Harden. I won't do it. Not because I want to be with him. Because I don't. I love you. Only you. But you're only doing this to prove a point. And it's ugly and it's cruel and I won't help you.
She bites the inside of her cheek, trying not to cry. What the hell am I doing? With fiery intensity, she tells me,
I'm going home. When you want to talk about Seattle, that's where I'll be.
With that, she turns to walk away.
You don't have a way to get home,
I call to her. Zed reaches out an arm in her direction.
I'll take her, he says,
which breaks something in me.
If I wasn't already in a bunch of shit because of you, I would kill you right now. I don't just mean break a bone. I mean I would literally crack your skull open against the concrete and watch you bleed out all over this.
Stop it!
Tessa yells as she turns, covering her ears.
Tessa, if you...
Zed says softly.
Zed, I appreciate everything you've done, but you really need to stop.
She tries to sound stern, but fails miserably. With a final sigh, he turns on his heel and walks away. I head to the car, and as soon as I'm near it, my father and Landon appear. Of fucking course. I hear the click of Tessa's heels behind me.
We're going,
I tell them before they can get a word in.
I'll call you in a little while,
she says to Landon.
You're still going Wednesday, right?
He asks her. She smiles at him, a fake smile to mask the panic behind her eyes.
Yeah, of course.
Landon glares at me, obviously noticing the tension between us. Does he know about her plan? Probably. He probably helped her develop it. I climb into the car, not even trying to hide my lack of patience.
I'll call you,
she says again to Landon, and waves goodbye to my father before getting in. I immediately turn the music off as she buckles her seatbelt.
Go ahead,
she says, no emotion in her voice.
What? Go ahead and scream at me. I know you're going to.
I'm stunned into silence by her assumption. Granted, I had planned on yelling at her, but the way she just expects it throws me off guard. But of course she expects it. That's what always happens. That's what I do.
Well?
Her lips are pressed in a hard line. I'm not going to yell at you. She glances over at me momentarily before focusing at some point out beyond the window. I don't know what to do except scream at you.
That's the problem.
I sigh in defeat, my forehead resting against the steering wheel.
I wasn't planning this behind your back, Harden. Not purposely.
It sure as hell seems that way.
I would never do that to you. I love you. You'll understand when we go over it.
Her words bounce right off me as anger takes over. I understand you're moving. Soon. I don't even know when. And we live together, Tessa.
We share a fucking bed, and you're going to just leave me?
I always knew you would. I hear the click of her seatbelt, and then feel her hand pushing me back by the shoulders. Within seconds, she's on my lap, bare thigh straddling me, cold arms wrapped around my neck, her tear-soaked face buried in my chest.
Get off me,
I say, attempting to unwrap her arms from me.
Why do you always assume I'm going to leave you?
She tightens her grip.
Because you will. I'm not going to Seattle to leave you. I'm going for myself and my career. It's always been my plan to go there, and this is an incredible opportunity. I asked Mr. Vance while we were figuring out what we were going to do, and I planned on telling you so many times, but you either cut me off or didn't want to talk about anything serious.
All I can think of is her packing her bags and leaving me with nothing but some bullshit note on the counter.
Don't you dare try to blame me.
My voice doesn't hold as much conviction as I intended.
I'm not blaming you, but I knew you wouldn't be supportive. You know how important this is to me. What are you going to do, then? If you go, I can't be with you. I love you, Tessa, but I'm not going to Seattle. Why? You don't even know if you'd like it or not. We could at least try it, and if you hate it, we could go to England. Maybe,
she says with a sniffle.
You don't know if you'll like Seattle either.
I look at her with blank eyes.
I'm sorry, but you have to choose. Me or Seattle?
She looks up at me for a moment, then moves back to the passenger seat without a word.
You don't have to decide right now, but time is running out.
I put the car in drive and pull out of the small space.
I can't believe you're making me choose.
She doesn't look at me.
You knew how I felt about Seattle. You're lucky I kept my cool back there when you were with him. I'm lucky,
she scoffs.
This day is shit already. Let's not fight about it. I'm going to need an answer by Friday. Unless, of course, you'll be gone by then.
The idea sends a chill through my body. I know she'll choose me. She has to. We can go to England and get away from all this bullshit. She hasn't said a word about missing classes today, which I'm glad for, since that's another fight I don't want to have.
You're being so selfish,
she accuses. I don't argue, because I know she's right. But I do say, well, some might say selfish is also not telling someone when they plan on leaving them.
Where are you going to live?
Do you already have a place?
No, I was going to look for one tomorrow. We leave Wednesday for the trip with your family.
It takes me a moment to realize who she's referring to.
We? You said you'd go.
I'm still trying to recover from this Seattle shit, Tessa. I know I'm being an asshole, but this is so fucked up. And let's not forget you calling Zed, I add, doubling down. Tessa stays silent as I drive. I have to look over at her multiple times to make sure she's still awake. Are you not speaking to me now? I finally ask her as we approach the parking lot of my apartment.
I don't know what to say.
Her voice is quiet, defeated. I park, and it hits me.
Shit.
Your dad's still here, isn't he?
I don't know where else he would go,
she says without looking at me. We get out of the car, and I say, well, when we get upstairs, I'll ask him where he needs to be dropped off at.
No, I'll take him,
she mumbles. Even though my girl's walking next to me, she seems miles away.
Chapter 6. Tessa. I'm too disappointed and hardened to argue, and he's too pissed at me to speak without screaming. He actually handled the news better than I thought he would, but how could he make me choose? He knows how important Seattle is to me, and it's not like he has a problem with me giving something up for him. That's what hurts me the most. He always says he can't be away from me, that he can't live without me, yet he's giving me an ultimatum, and it's not fair.
If he took off with any of our shit,
Harden begins as we get through the door. Enough. Hopefully my exhaustion is heard through my soft dismissal so he won't press it.
Just saying.
I push my key into the lock and twist, momentarily considering the possibility of what Harden has mentioned. I don't know the man, really. Any paranoia I have disappears when we walk inside. My father's body is slumped over the arm of the couch. His mouth is wide open and deep snores escape from his parted lips. Without another word, Harden walks into the bedroom and I go to the kitchen for a glass of water and a minute to think about my next step. The last thing that I want to do is fight with Harden, but I'm beyond sick of him only thinking of himself. I know he has changed so much, tried so hard, but I've given him chance after chance, resulting in an endless breakup-makeup cycle that would make even Catherine Earnshaw cringe. I don't know how long I can keep my head above water when I'm fighting off the tidal wave that we call a relationship. Every time I feel like I've learned to tread its waters, I'm sucked back under by yet another conflict with Harden. After a few moments, I get up and look over at my father, still snoring in a way I would find amusing if I wasn't so preoccupied. Deciding on a course of action, I head into the bedroom. Harden is lying on his back, his arms tucked under his head as he stares at the ceiling. I'm about to speak when he breaks the silence.
I got expelled, just in case you were wondering.
I turn to him quickly, my heart racing. What?
Yep, sure did.
He shrugs his shoulders. I'm so sorry. I should have asked earlier. I thought for sure Ken could get his son out of this mess. I'm devastated for him.
It's okay. You were otherwise occupied with Zed and plans for Seattle, remember?
I sit on the edge of the bed, as far from him as possible, and try my best to bite my tongue. It's a wasted effort. I was trying to find out about the charges against you. He says he's still... He interrupts me with his eyebrows raised in mockery.
I heard him. I was there, remember?
Harden, I've had enough of your attitude. I know you're upset, but you need to stop being so disrespectful. I speak slowly, hoping the words sink in. He's dumbfounded for a moment, but he quickly recovers.
Excuse me?
I try to keep the most neutral, if stern, expression I can manage. You heard me. Stop talking to me like that.
I'm sorry. I get kicked out of school, then find you with him, then learn you're going to Seattle. I'd say I'm entitled to be a little angry.
Yes, you are. But you aren't entitled to be a jerk. I was hoping we could actually talk about this and work it out like adults, for once.
What's that supposed to mean?
He sits up, but I keep my distance. It means that after 6 months of this back and forth, I thought we could possibly solve a problem without one of us leaving or breaking things.
6 months?
His jaw drops. Yes, 6 months. Awkwardly, I avoid his eyes. Well, since we met.
I hadn't realized it's been that long.
Well, it has. It feels like a lifetime to me.
It doesn't feel like that long.
Is that a problem for you? We've been seeing each other too long? I finally meet his green eyes.
No, Tessa, it's just odd to think about, I guess. I've never been in an actual relationship, so 6 months is a long time.
Well, we haven't been dating the entire time. Most of it was spent fighting or avoiding one another, I remind him.
How long exactly were you with Noah?
His question surprises me. We've had a few talks regarding my relationship with Noah, but they usually last less than 5 minutes, ending abruptly because of Harden's jealousy. We were best friends since I can remember, but only started dating halfway through high school. I think we'd basically been dating before then, but we just didn't realize it. I watch Harden with careful eyes, waiting for a reaction. Talking about Noah makes me miss him, not in a romantic way, but in that way you miss your family after not seeing them for an extended period.
Oh.
He rests his hands in his lap, making me want to reach across and hold them.
Did you fight?
Sometimes. Our fights were over things like what movie to watch or him being late to pick me up. He doesn't look up from his hands.
Not like we fight, then?
I don't think anyone fights like we do. I smile in an attempt to reassure him.
What else did you do? With him, I mean.
He says, and I swear that sitting in Harden's place on the bed there is now a small child, green eyes bright, hands nearly shaking. I give a gentle shrug. We didn't do much, really, outside of studying and watching hundreds of movies. We were more like best friends, I guess.
You loved him,
the child reminds me. Not the way that I love you, I tell him, just like I have countless times before.
Would you have given up Seattle for him?
He picks at the rough skin around his fingernails. When he looks at me, his insecurity shines through his eyes. So this is why we're talking about Noah. Harden's low self-esteem has once again taken his thoughts there, to that place where he compares himself to whatever or whomever he thinks that I need. No.
Why not?
I reach for his hand to comfort the childlike worry inside of him. Because I shouldn't have to choose at all, and he always knew about my plans and dreams, so I wouldn't have had to choose.
I don't have anything in Seattle.
He sighs. Me. You'd have me.
That's not enough.
Oh. I turn away from him.
I know that's fucked up, but it's true. I have nothing there, and you'll have this new job, and you'll make new friends.
You'd have a new job, too. Christian said he'd give you a job, and we would make new friends together.
I don't want to work for him, and the people you'd choose as friends are more than likely not going to be the same people I would choose. It would just be so different out there.
You don't know that. I'm friends with Steph.
Only because you were roommates. I don't want to move there, Tessa, especially now that I've been expelled. It makes more sense for me to just go back to England and finish university there.
This shouldn't only be about what makes sense for you.
Considering that you went behind my back and saw Zed yet again, you aren't exactly in any position to be calling the shots.
Really? Because you and I haven't even established that we're together again. I agreed to move back in, and you agreed to treat me better. I stand up from the bed and begin to pace across the concrete floor. But you went behind my back and beat him up, resulting in your expulsion. So if anyone isn't in a position to call the shots, it's you.
You were hiding this from me.
He raises his voice.
You've been planning to leave me and didn't tell me.
I know. I'm sorry for that. But instead of arguing over who's the most wrong here, why don't we try to fix it or come to some sort of compromise?
You...
He stops and stands up from the bed.
You don't...
What? I press.
I don't know. I can't even think straight because of how mad I am at you.
I'm sorry for you finding out that way, but I don't know what else to say.
Say that you won't go.
I'm not making that choice right now. I shouldn't have to.
When then? I won't wait around.
What are you going to do then? Leave? What happened to, I never wish to be parted from you from this day on?
Really? You're going to bring that up? You don't think an ideal time to bring up Seattle would be before I got a fucking tattoo for you? The irony isn't lost on me.
He steps closer to me, challenging me. I was going to.
But you didn't.
How many times are you going to mention that? We can go back and forth all day, but I really don't have the energy. I'm over it, I say.
Over it? You're over it?
He half laughs. Yes, over it. It's true. I'm over fighting with him about Seattle. It's suffocating and frustrating, and I've had just about enough. He grabs a black sweatshirt from the closet and pulls it over his head before slipping his boots onto his feet. Where are you going? I demand.
Away from here,
he huffs. Harden, you don't have to leave, I call, as he opens the door, but he ignores me. If my father wasn't in the living room, I'd chase after him and force him to stay. But honestly, I'm tired of chasing him.
Chapter 7. Harden. Tessa's father is awake now, sitting on the couch with his arms crossed in front of his chest and staring blankly out the window. Do you need a ride somewhere? I ask him. I'm not thrilled with the idea of taking him anywhere, but I sure as hell despise the idea of leaving him alone with her. He snaps his head my direction, as if startled. Yeah, is that okay? He asks. Yeah, I quickly answer. Okay, I just want to say goodbye to Tessie. He looks toward our bedroom. Fine, I'll be in the car. I head out the door, unsure of exactly where I'm going after I drop the old fool off. But I know it's not good for either of us if I stay here. I'm so angry with myself. I know she's not the only one to blame here, but I'm used to lashing out at people. And she's always with me, making her an easy target. Which makes me a pathetic motherfucker, I know. I keep my eyes trained on the entrance to our apartment building, waiting for Richard. If he doesn't come soon, I'll leave his ass here. But then I sigh at the thought, since I really don't want to leave him here with her. At last, the father of the year steps through the door and pulls down the sleeves of his shirt. I had expected him to wear the clothes of mine that Tessa gave him, but he's dressed in his clothes from yesterday. Only now they're clean. Damn Tessa. She's too fucking nice. I turn the volume up on the radio as he opens the passenger door, hoping that the music will halt any conversation he might try to make. No luck. She said to tell you to be careful, he says as soon as he gets in, then buckles his seatbelt like he's trying to show me how to do it. Like he's some airline hostess. I give him a small nod and pull onto the street. How did your meeting go today? He asks. Really? I raise my brow at him. Just wondering. He taps his fingers on his leg. I'm glad she went with you. Okay. She seems to be a lot like her mother. I shoot a look at him. The hell she is. She's nothing like that woman. Is he trying to get himself thrown out onto the highway? He laughs. The good qualities only, of course. She's very headstrong, just like Carol. She wants what she wants. But Tessie is much sweeter, gentler. Here we go with the Tessie bullshit again. I heard the two of you fighting. It woke me up. I roll my eyes. Excuse us for waking you up at noon while you were sleeping on our couch. Again, I met with a chuckle. I get it, man. You're angry at the world. I was, too. Hell, I still am. But when you find someone who's willing to put up with your shit, you don't have to be so angry anymore. Well, old-timer, what do you suggest I do when your daughter is the one making me so goddamn angry? Look, I'll admit you aren't as bad as I thought you were, but I didn't ask for your advice, so don't waste your time giving it to me.
I'm not giving you advice. I'm speaking from experience here. I'd hate to see the two of you end things.
We aren't ending things, Dick. I'm just trying to get my point across. I want to be with her, and I will be. She just needs to give in and come with me. I'm beyond fucking angry that she'd bring Zed into this shit again, regardless of her reasoning. I turn the damn radio off.
You don't even know me. Or her, for that matter. Why would you care?
Because I know you're good for her.
Do you?
I reply, sarcasm in full bloom. Thankfully, we're getting closer to his side of town, so this horrid conversation will be ending soon.
Yes, I do.
Then it strikes me, and I'll never admit it to anyone, but it's actually sort of nice to have someone say I'm good for her, even if it's her drunk asshole of a father. I'll take it. Are you going to be seeing her again? I ask, and then quickly add, and where exactly am I taking you?
Just drop me near the shop where we met yesterday. I'll figure it out from there. And yes, I hope to be seeing her again. I have a lot of shit to make up for.
Yeah, you do. I agree. The parking lot next to the tattoo parlor is empty, which makes some sense, since it's not even 1 in the afternoon yet.
Can you drive me to the end of this street? He asks.
I nod and pass the shop. The only thing at the end of this street is a bar and a run-down laundromat.
Thanks for the ride.
Yep.
Do you want to come inside?
Richard asks, nodding toward the small bar. Getting a drink with Tessa's homeless drunk father doesn't sound like the most intelligent thing to do at the moment. However, I'm not known for making good decisions.
Fuck it,
I mumble, and turn the car off and follow him inside. It's not like I had anywhere in mind to go anyway. The bar is dark and smells like mold and whiskey. Following him to the small counter, I grab a stool, leaving an empty seat between us. A middle-aged woman wearing what I pray are her teenage daughter's clothes walks toward us. Without a word, she slides Richard a small glass filled with whiskey and ice.
And for you?
She asks me, her voice raspy and deeper than mine. Same as him. Tessa's voice warning me not to do this is clear as a bell between my ears. I push it away, push her away. I raise the glass, and we toast and each take a sip.
How can you afford to be a drunk if you don't work?
I ask.
I clean the place every other day, so I drink for free.
Shame is clear in his voice. Why not be sober and get paid then?
I don't know. I tried and tried.
He stares at his glass with hooded eyes, and for a second they resemble mine. I can see a shadow of myself in them.
I'm hoping now it'll get easier if I can see my daughter more often.
I nod, not even bothering to hit him with a snide remark, and instead wrap my fingers around the cool glass. I welcome the familiar burn of scotch as I tip my head back and finish the rest. When I push it across the semi-polished bar top, the woman makes eye contact and then starts pouring me another.
Chapter 8. Tessa.
Your dad? Landon says incredulously through the phone.
I forgot that I hadn't had a chance to tell him about my father's return. Yeah, we ran into him yesterday.
How is he? What did he say? What was it like?
I don't know why, but I feel embarrassed to tell Landon that my father is still drinking. I know he'd never judge me, but I'm still apprehensive.
Is he still...
Yeah, he is. He was drunk when we saw him, but we brought him back here and he stayed the night. I twirl a lock of hair around my index finger.
Harden let him?
He didn't have a say in it. It's my place, too, I snap. But then I immediately feel bad and apologize. I'm sorry. I've just had it with Harden thinking he controls everything.
Tessa, do you want me to leave campus and come over?
Landon's so kind. You can hear it in how he talks. No, I'm just being dramatic. I sigh and look around the bedroom. I think I'll come there, actually. I can still make my last class. I could really use some yoga right about now, and some coffee. I listen to Landon as I dress myself for yoga. It seems like a waste to drive all the way to campus for one class, but I don't want to sit around this apartment and wait for Harden to come home from wherever he ran off to.
Professor Soto asked about your absence today, and Ken said he wrote a character witness statement for Harden. What's up with that?
He asks. Soto did? I don't know. He offered to help him before, but I didn't think he meant it. I guess he just likes him or something.
Likes him? Likes Harden?
Landon laughs, and I can't help but join him. My phone drops into the sink as I pull my hair into a ponytail. I curse at myself and get it back to my ear just in time to hear Landon say he's headed to the library before his next class. After our goodbyes, I hang up and start to text Harden to let him know where I'll be, but then I close the app instead. He'll come around about this whole Seattle thing. He has to. By the time I get to school, the wind has picked up yet again and the sky has turned an ugly shade of gray. After grabbing a coffee, I still have 30 minutes before yoga. The library is on the other side of campus, so I don't have time to go there and see Landon. Instead, I end up waiting outside Professor Soto's classroom. His class should be ending any... My thoughts are cut off by the crowd of students practically rushing out the doors and into the hall. I lift my bag farther up on my shoulder and push my way through them to get inside. The professor is standing with his back turned toward me as he pulls his leather jacket over his arms. When he turns, he greets me with a smile.
Ms. Young?
Hi, Professor Soto.
What brings you by? Did you need the topic for today's journal that you missed?
No, Landon gave it to me already. I came by to thank you. I shift uncomfortably on the heels of my gym shoes.
For what?
Writing that character witness statement for Harden. I know he hasn't been that pleasant to you, so it's very appreciated.
It's nothing, really. Everyone deserves a quality education, even hotheads.
He laughs. I guess so. I smile at him and look around the classroom, unsure what to say next.
Besides, Zed deserved what he got anyway,
he says suddenly. What? I look back at him. What do you mean? Professor Soto blinks a few times before collecting himself.
Nothing, I'm sure Harden had a good reason for going after him, that's all. I better get going. I have a meeting to get to, but thanks for coming by. I'll see you in class Wednesday.
I won't be here Wednesday. I'm going on a trip. With a light hand, he waves this off.
Well, have fun then. I'll see you when you return.
He quickly walks off, leaving me bewildered by what he could have meant.
Chapter 9. Harden. My unlikely drinking partner, Richard, has escaped to the restroom for the fourth time since we've arrived. I get the feeling that Betsy the bartender may have taken a slight liking toward the man, which makes me really fucking uncomfortable.
Another? She asks.
With a nod, I dismiss the burly woman. It's now after 2 PM, and I've had 4 drinks, which wouldn't be so bad if they weren't straight scotch with a smidgen of ice. My thoughts are cloudy, and my anger has yet to subside. I don't know who or what to be more mad about. So I've given up on reasoning things out and have decided to just run with a general state of pissed the fuck off.
Here you go.
The bartender slides my drink in front of me as Richard takes the stool directly next to me. I was under the impression he understood the importance of the empty stool between us. Guess not. He turns to me, raking his hand over the rough whiskers of his beard. The sound is disgusting.
Did you order me another?
You should shave that. I offer my somewhat intoxicated opinion.
This?
He does that thing with his hand again.
Yes, that. It's not a good look, I say. It's okay. Keeps me warm.
He laughs, and I take a drink to stop myself from joining him.
Betsy! He calls.
She nods and pulls his empty glass from the counter. Then he looks at me.
Are you going to tell me what it is you're drinking over?
Nope. I move my scotch in a circle, causing the solitary ice cube to clink against the glass. Fine. No questions, then. Only booze, he says with some glee. My hatred toward him has dissolved for the most part. That is, until I picture the blonde 10-year-old girl hiding in her mum's greenhouse. Her blue-grey eyes are wide, fearful almost. And then the blonde boy in the fucking cardigan shows up to save the day. One question, he presses, jarring me from my thoughts. I take a deep breath and an even deeper drink to keep myself from doing something idiotic. I mean, more idiotic than drinking with my girlfriend's alcoholic father. This family and their fucking questions. One, I say. Did you really get kicked out of college today? I look over at the neon Pabst sign, thinking over the question, wishing I hadn't had five drinks. No, but she thinks I did, I admit. And why does she think that? Nosy fucker. Because I told her that I did. I swing my gaze to him and say with dead eyes, that's enough confessions for one night. Have it your way. He smiles and raises his glass to hit mine, but I pull away, shaking my head. I can tell by his laughter that he hadn't expected me to toast with him anyway, and he finds me very amusing, the same way that I find him very annoying. A woman around his age appears at his side and takes the stool next to him. She wraps her thin arm around his shoulder, and he greets her warmly. She doesn't strike me as the homeless type, but she obviously knows him. He probably spends the majority of his time in this shithole of a bar. I use this distraction to check my phone for messages or calls from Tessa. Nothing. I'm relieved, but annoyed that she hasn't attempted to talk to me. Relieved because I'm drunk, but annoyed because I miss her already. Each glass of scotch that slides down my throat makes me want her more, makes the hollowness of her absence grow. Fuck! What has she done to me? She's so damn infuriating, always trying to push my buttons. It's like she literally sits around and devises new ways to enrage me. Matter of fact, she probably does. She's probably sitting cross-legged on the bed with that stupid fucking planner on her lap, a pen between her teeth and another behind her ear, coming up with things to do or say that will drive me insane. 6 months we've been together now. 6 months. That's a long-ass time. Longer than I ever thought I could stand to spend with one person. Granted, we haven't been dating the entire time, and a lot of those months were spent, wasted, with my trying to stay away from her. Richard's voice breaks my thoughts. This is Nancy. I nod at the woman and stare back down at the dark wood of the bar top. Nancy, this well-mannered young man is Harden. He's Tessie's boyfriend, he proudly says. Why would he be proud of me dating his daughter?
Tessie has a boyfriend. Is she here? I'd love to finally meet her. Richard here has told me so much about her.
She isn't here, I grumble.
That's too bad. How did her birthday party go? It was last weekend, right?
She asks.
What?
Richard looks to me, clearly imploring me to go along with some lie he's obviously told.
Yeah, it was nice.
He answers for me before gulping down the rest of his drink.
That's nice, Nancy says,
then points toward the entrance.
Oh, there she is.
My eyes dart to the door, and for a moment I think she's talking about Tessa, but that wouldn't make sense. She's never met her. Instead, a too thin blonde walks across the small room and over to us. This dive bar is getting too damn crowded. I hold my empty glass in the air. Another! After an eye roll and a whispered, asshole, I'm given another drink.
This is my daughter, Shannon, Nancy informs me.
Shannon looks me up and down with eyes that appear to have spiders stuck to them. This chick is wearing way too much makeup.
Shannon, this is Harden,
Richard speaks, but I don't make any motion toward greeting her. Many months ago, I probably would have paid at least a little attention to the desperate girl. I maybe would have even let her blow me in the disgusting bathroom here. But now I just want her to stop fucking staring at me. I don't think it'll go any lower without taking it off, I say, regarding the obnoxious way she keeps tugging at the hem of her shirt to show off the small bit of cleavage she can manage.
Excuse me,
she huffs, placing her hands on her narrow hips. You heard me.
Okay, okay. Let's all just settle down here, Richard says, putting his hands in the air.
With that, Nancy and her slutty daughter walk away to find a table. You're welcome, I say to him, but he shakes his head. You're an unpleasant son of a bitch. Before I can react, he adds, just how I like him. Three drinks later, I can barely sit on the bar stool. Richard, who obviously drinks for a living, literally, appears to have the same problem, as he's leaning way too close to me.
So, then when I get out the next day, I had to walk 2 miles. Of course, it started raining.
He continues on, telling me about the last time he was arrested. I continue to drink and pretend that he isn't talking to me.
If I'm supposed to keep your secret, you should at least tell me why you told Tessie you were expelled, he says at last.
I somehow knew he would wait until I was full-on drunk to bring this up again.
It's easier if she thinks that, I admit. How's that?
Because I want her to go to England with me, and she isn't exactly thrilled with the idea.
I don't get it.
He pinches the bridge of his nose.
Your daughter wants to leave me, and I can't let that happen.
So you tell her you got kicked out of school, so she'll go to England?
Basically.
He looks down at his drink, then over at me.
That's really stupid.
I know.
And it does sound really fucking stupid when spoken out loud, but it somehow makes sense inside my fucked up head.
Who are you to give advice to me, anyway?
I say to him at last.
No one. All I'm saying is you'll end up just like me if you keep it up.
I want to tell him to fuck off and mind his own damn business, but when I look up at him, I see the resemblance I noted when we first sat down at the bar.
Fuck.
Don't tell her,
I remind him.
I won't.
Then he turns to Betsy.
Another round.
She smiles at him and begins to make our drinks. I don't think I can handle another.
I'm good. Right now you have 3 eyes,
I tell him. He shrugs.
More for me.
I'm a shit boyfriend, I think to myself, wondering what Tessie, fuck, Tessa, is doing right now.
I'm a shit father,
Richard says. I'm too drunk to comprehend the difference between thinking and speaking, so I don't know if him saying this is coincidence or I was speaking out loud.
Move down,
a gruff male voice says to the left of Richard. I glance over to see a short man with an even fuller beard than my drinking companions.
There aren't any more stools, partner,
Richard replies slowly.
Well, then you better move,
the man threatens.
Fuck. Not this. Not now.
We aren't moving.
I dismiss the man. The man then makes the mistake of grabbing Richard by the collar and roughly yanking him upright.
Chapter 10. Tessa. The walk back to my car after yoga feels much longer than usual. The heaviness of Hardin's expulsion and the move to Seattle were lifted from me during meditation, but now, outside the walls of the classroom, the weight is back and multiplied by 10. As soon as I begin to pull out of the parking spot, my phone vibrates on the passenger seat. Hardin. Hello? I stop and shift the gear into park. But it's a woman's voice that barks through the speaker, and my heart stops. Is this Tessa? Yes? Good. I've got your father and...
Boyfriend.
I hear Hardin groan in the background. Yeah, your boyfriend, she says snidely. I'm gonna need you to pick these two up before someone calls the cops. Calls the cops? Where are they? I shift back into drive. Dizzy's on Lamar Avenue. You know the place? No, but I'll Google it. Huh, of course you will. Ignoring her attitude, I hang up the phone and hastily get directions to the bar. Why the hell are Harden and my father at a bar at 3 in the afternoon? Why the hell are Harden and my father even together? This makes no sense to me. And what about the cops? What did they do? I should have asked the woman on the phone. I can only hope they didn't get into a fight with each other. That's the last thing any of us needs. My imagination has run wild by the time I make it to the bar and has concluded that Harden's either murdered my father or vice versa. There are no cop cars outside the small bar, which is a good sign, I suppose. I park directly in front of the building and hurry inside, wishing I had worn a sweatshirt instead of a t-shirt.
There she is,
my father calls out jubilantly. I can tell he's loaded as he stumbles over to me.
You should have seen it, Tessie.
He claps his hands.
Harden just whooped some serious ass.
Where is he? I start, but right then a bathroom door opens and Harden walks out, wiping his bloody hands on a red-stained paper towel. What happened? I yell to him from the opposite side of the room.
Nothing. Calm down.
I gape as I walk over to him. Are you drunk? I ask, then twist slightly to look at his eyes. Bloodshot. He looks off to the side.
Maybe.
This is unbelievable. I cross my arms as he tries to take my hand.
Hey, you should be thanking me for having your dad's back. He'd be on the floor right now if it wasn't for me.
He points to a man sitting on the floor holding a bag of ice against his cheek. I won't be thanking you for anything. You're drunk in the middle of the afternoon, and with my father of all people. What the hell is wrong with you? I storm away from him, back toward the bar where my father is now sitting.
Don't be mad at him, Tessie. He loves you.
My father is defending him. What the hell is going on here? As Harden walks over, I ball my fists at my sides and shout, So what? You two get drunk together and now you're best friends? Neither of you should even be drinking.
Baby,
Harden says into my ear and attempts to wrap his arm around me.
Hey,
the woman behind the bar says, knocking on the counter to get my attention. You gotta get them out of here. I nod at her and glare at the drunken idiots who are my lot. My father's cheek is pink, giving the impression he was hit, and Harden's hands are already swelling. You can come to our house for tonight so you can sober up, but this isn't acceptable behavior. I want to scold them both like the children they are, for either of you. I exit the smelly little place and am at the car before they make it to the door. Harden scowls at my father as the older man tries to rest an arm on his shoulder. I get into my car, disgusted. Harden's intoxication puts me on edge. I know how he is when he's drunk, and I'm not sure I've ever seen him this drunk before. Not even that night he destroyed all the china. I miss the days when Harden didn't drink anything but water at parties. We have a list of problems right now, and him drinking only adds fuel to the flames. Apparently, my father has graduated from being an angry drunk to one who tells endless jokes, most of which are tasteless and obnoxious. The whole ride home, he laughs too hard at his own words, with Harden joining him every now and then. This isn't how I envisioned this day at all. I don't know what it was that made Harden warm up to my father, but now that they're both drunk in the middle of the day, I don't like their friendship at all. When we get home, I leave my father in the kitchen eating more of Harden's frosted flakes and head for the bedroom, where most of our arguments seem to begin and end.
Tessa,
Harden begins as soon as I close the door. Don't, I say coldly.
Don't be mad at me. We were just having a drink.
His tone is playful, but I'm not in the mood for it. Just having a drink? With my father, an alcoholic who I'm trying to build a relationship with, who I wanted to maybe think about getting sober. That's who you were just drinking with?
Baby.
I shake my head. Don't you baby me. I'm not okay with this.
Nothing happened.
He wraps his fingers around my arm to pull me to him, but when I pull away, it causes him to stumble to the bed. Harden, you got in a fight again.
Not a big one. Who cares?
I do. I care. He looks up at me from his place on the edge of our bed, his green eyes laced with red, and says,
Then why are you leaving me, if you care so much?
My heart sinks a little farther into my chest. I'm not leaving you. I'm asking you to come with me, I sigh.
But I don't want to,
he whines. I know, but this is the one thing I have left, apart from you, of course.
I'll marry you.
He reaches for my hand, but I step back. My breath hitches. I'm sure I couldn't have heard that correctly. What? I raise my hands, blocking him from coming closer.
I said I'll marry you if you choose me.
He stands up, stepping toward me. The words, even though they're meaningless because of the amount of alcohol coursing through him, still excite me. You're drunk, I say. He's only offering marriage because he's drunk, which is worse than not offering at all.
So? I still mean it.
No, you don't. I shake my head and dodge his touch again.
Yes, I do. Not now, of course, but in, like, 6 years or so?
He scratches his thumb across his forehead, thinking. I roll my eyes. Despite my fluttering heart, this last bit of hedging, offering to marry me in a vague 6 years or so, shows that reality is creeping back into his thoughts, even as he drunkenly tries to convince me otherwise. We'll see how you feel about this tomorrow, I say, knowing he surely won't remember it tomorrow.
Will you be wearing those pants?
His lips form a wicked smile. No. Don't even start talking about these damn pants.
You're the one who wore them. You know how I feel about them.
He looks down at his lap, then points at it, and looks up, waggling his eyebrows. Playful, teasing, drunk Harden is sort of adorable, but not adorable enough to make me lose my ground.
Come here,
he begs, mock frowning. No, I'm still upset with you.
Come on, Tessie, don't be mad.
He laughs and rubs his eyes with the back of his hands. If either of you calls me that one more time, I swear.
Tessie, what's wrong, Tessie? You don't like the name Tessie, Tessie?
Harden grins wide, and I feel my resolve fading the longer I stare at him.
Are you going to let me take those pants off of you?
No. I've a lot to do today, and none of those things involve you taking my clothes off. I would ask you to come along, but you decided to get wasted with my father, so I have to go alone.
You're going somewhere?
His voice is smooth, yet raspy, thick from the liquor. Yes.
You're not wearing that, though, right?
Yes, I am. I can wear whatever the hell I want to wear. I grab a sweatshirt and head for the door. I'll be back later. Don't do anything stupid, because I won't bail you or my father out of jail.
Sassy. I like it. But I can think of something else to do with that smart mouth of yours.
When I ignore his crude remark, he coos,
Stay with me.
I quickly leave the room and the apartment before he can persuade me to stay. I hear him call Tessie as I reach the door and have to cover my mouth to hide the giggle that escapes. This is my problem. When it comes to Harden, my brain doesn't see the difference between right and wrong. Chapter 11. Tessa. By the time I make it to my car, I already wish I'd have stayed in the bedroom with Harden and his playful mood. But I have too much to do. I have to call the woman back about the apartment in Seattle, get a few things for the trip with Harden's family, and most importantly, clear my head about Seattle. Harden offering me marriage nearly swayed me, but I know he won't mean it tomorrow. I'm trying desperately not to overthink his words and let them change my mind, but it's much harder than I expected. I'll marry you if you choose me. I was surprised, shocked really, when the words were spoken. He seemed so calm, his voice so neutral, as if he were announcing what we were having for dinner. I know better, though. I know he's getting desperate. The liquor and his desperation to keep me from moving to Seattle are the only reasons behind his offer. Even so, I can't stop replaying the words in my mind. Pathetic, I know, but if I'm being honest, that mix of hopefulness and knowing better than to feel that way is how I feel. By the time I get to Target, I still haven't called Sandra. I believe that's her name, to discuss the apartment. It looks like a nice place from the pictures on the website. Not nearly as big as our current space, but it's good enough, and I can afford to live there on my own. It doesn't have bookshelves for walls or the exposed brick wall that I've grown to love so much, but it'll do. I'm ready for this. For Seattle. I'm ready to take this step for my future. I've been waiting for this since I can remember. I stroll through the store, daydreaming about Seattle and my situation, and soon I find my basket full of random things, none of which I actually need for the trip. Tablets for the dishwasher, toothpaste, a new dustpan. Why am I buying this if I'm moving anyway? I put the dustpan back, along with some colorful socks I tossed in there for no apparent reason. If Harden doesn't come along, I'll need to start over and buy all new dishes, all new everything. It's a huge relief that the apartment comes furnished, since that crosses out at least a dozen things from my to-do list. After Target, I'm not really sure what to do with myself. I don't want to return to the apartment with Harden and my father, but I don't have anywhere else to go. I'm going to be spending 3 days with Landon, Ken, and Karen, so I don't want to drive to their house and bother them. I really need friends. Or one friend, at least. I could call Kimberly, but she's probably busy planning her own move. Lucky girl. It's Christian's company that's taking her to Seattle, granted, but I can tell by the way he looks at her that he'd follow her anywhere. While scrolling through my phone to call Sandra, I almost tap Steph's name. I wonder what she's doing. Harden would probably lose his mind if I called her to hang out. Then again, he's in no position to tell me what to do, being completely belligerent and wasted in the middle of the day. I'm calling her, I decide, and she answers quickly.
Tessa, what are you up to? She says loudly,
trying to talk over the voices in the background. Nothing. I'm sitting in the parking lot at Target.
Oh, fun shit then?
She laughs. Not really. What are you doing?
Nothing. Going to lunch with my friend.
Oh, okay. Well, call me later or something, I say.
You can meet us there if you want. It's just the Applebee's right off campus.
Applebee's reminds me of Zed, but the food was incredible, and I haven't eaten yet today. Okay, I'll come if you're sure that's okay, I ask. I hear a car door shut in the background.
Yes, get your ass over here. We'll be there in about 15 minutes or so.
I call Sandra on my way back toward campus and leave her a voicemail. I can't ignore the relief that I feel when her voicemail picks up instead of her actual voice, but I'm not really sure what that's about. Applebee's is really crowded by the time I arrive, and I don't see Steph as I scan the room for bright crimson hair, so I put my name in with the hostess. How many? The hostess asks me with a friendly smile. 3, I think. Steph said she was with her friend, so I assume she meant only one person. Well, I've got a booth available now, so let me give it to you just in case. The girl smiles and grabs 4 menus from the stand behind her. I follow her to the booth toward the back of the restaurant and wait for Steph to arrive. I check my phone for any correspondence from Harden, but there's none. He's probably passed out by now. When I look back up, my adrenaline immediately spikes at the sight of flaming pink hair.
Chapter 12. Harden. I open the cabinet in search of something to eat. I need to soak up the liquor coursing through me.
She's so mad at us, Richard says, watching me.
Yeah, she is. I can't help but smile at the way her face was flushed with anger, her small fists bunched at her sides. She was furious. It's not funny. Well, it is, but it shouldn't be.
Is my daughter one to hold grudges?
I look at him for a moment. It's weird for a father to have to ask a boyfriend about his own daughter's habits.
Obviously not. You're in our kitchen eating all my damn cereal.
I shake the empty box. He smiles.
Guess you're right, he says.
Yeah, usually am. Actually, that couldn't be further from the fucking truth.
Guess it sucks for you that you showed up now, when she's moving in less than a week. I say as I place a Tupperware container in the microwave. I'm not exactly sure what's in it, but I'm starving and too drunk to cook for myself. And Tessa isn't here to cook for me. What the fuck am I going to do when she leaves me? It does.